tacos and sports. That's what's coming up on the Art of Bombing Episode 4 re-release.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Hey, Art of Bombing Bomb Squad! Welcome to the Art of Bombing Episode 4 re-release. I'm Dan Bublich Jr. here with you. I just wanted to jump in and give a little disclaimer before we get to the re-release of Episode 4 with DJ Dangler and a little cameo with Casey Kustik. Yes, they're both in this episode. The disclaimer, though, the audio is a little rough. I want to remind everybody these were early episodes where I was using my phone to record the episodes. And then on top of it, this particular episode, we were at a Mexican restaurant having lunch. So there's a lot of background noise and a lot of commotion in the audio. I did try to clean it up a little bit, but it is what it is. And like I said, I apologize, but I also don't, because I was new and didn't know what I was doing, and obviously the podcast has gotten a lot better since, quality-wise. With that being said, though, the content of the conversation was great. DJ Dangler is a fantastic comedian. I highly suggest checking him out. If he happens to be performing in your area, I would go check him out live. And also go check out Casey Kustik. He's a fantastic comic from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But we had a great conversation, and DJ had some great stories about bombing, and let's just get into it. So that's the disclaimer. So here we go. Here is Episode 4 with DJ Dangler and Casey Kustik. Enjoy.
Preface it.
No, I don't really. We just start talking.
So we just start talking about bombing?
Well, I mean, that's the idea.
Yeah. There are cops next to us.
Yeah.
Be careful about bombing.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. Specifically talking about bombing, the best picture I've ever taken in my entire life is being picked up in on Hollywood Boulevard when they suspected me of domestic terrorism.
What?
Have I not told you? This is 100% true. It would have been, like, 3 Julys ago, I think maybe June, 3 Junes ago, a friend and I were going out to grab coffee in Los Angeles, and we're walking there, and we see those are fantastic, but we are walking to go get coffee.
Oh, yeah.
and on our way there, we see, like, we see a bag wrapped around a telephone pole, or like a stoplight post.
Yeah.
And I am not a super athletic dude, but I can climb like a monkey. And so I crawl up, and my buddy and I are both like, what's in there? Because it's wrapped up real snugly. It's tied up tight like a tie, right? And it looks interesting.
Yeah.
So we're like, I wonder what it is. We're like, oh, it's probably human shit. And I was like, I don't care. I'm high enough that I don't care. And so I crawl up there and I bat it down like a big bear looking for honey, and it's got a camera in it, like a pretty nice camera.
Oh man!
Right, and then I feel bad. Like, now it's no longer funny. I'm like, oh, this is left here for somebody or by someone. Yeah. Like, someone's going to be looking for this. I don't really want to. I don't want to pawn it because I'm going to make $10. That doesn't feel worth the karma. So I wrap it up there poorly and hop down, and then we go get coffee, and then 2 hours later we're walking back to our apartment, and Hollywood Boulevard is just shut down. Somebody saw us doing that, called the cops, thought we were terrorists.
Oh no.
Yeah, and Hollywood Boulevard was just shut down. Like, we didn't realize what was going on right away. We're oblivious. We hadn't done anything wrong. We were just dicking around being idiots.
Yeah.
And we hear somebody mention something about, like, a bag, and somebody moved it, and we were like, oh, my God. And so I go up to the cops, and I'm like, is this about that bag? And they were like, yep. And I was like, yeah, no, that was us. Right?
because
I felt bad. Like, one of the most, one of maybe the third or fourth most famous highway in America, or road in America, is shut down, right? Hollywood Boulevard, that's up there with Broadway and Route 66. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if the Boulevard of Broken Dreams is a real place or not. But I would argue Hollywood Boulevard is more important.
Well, yeah. It's in a song, so it must be.
E Street, we're running out of places that are important. But yeah, so like, it was great. The cops that we first spoke to were cool as ice. Like, they were like, hey, that's kind of what we thought had happened. Thanks. But the guys that were in charge were dicks on purpose.
Oh,
there's no other way to, like, it was one of those, like, and it was one of those where I was like, no, we didn't do anything wrong. Like, we get it. You don't have to explain that this is serious. If it wasn't serious, I'd have just fucking ducked out and left. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Don't punish me for doing the right thing.
That's why I'm fessing up.
they blew it up. That's a real thing. It also showed me kind of just, like, the bullshit mechanism. Yeah. They brought out a bot, like a robot, a bomb robot, that because it's a domestic terrorism threat. Like, so they bring out this robot. It looks like Johnny Five from Short Circuit without a head. It looks like that without a head. And, like, we're sitting, and it was super funny. Like, I say that. I was like, look, it looks like the guy. Then one of the cops even goes, well, we'll go get R2-D2. And one of the other cops goes, no, that's Johnny Five. And I was like, thank God, someone. Take that guy in fucking charge. but, yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, my God.
But the guys that were in charge were dumb. Mean. Just celebrating their being dicks.
Yeah.
And,
so they actually, because of that, they actually take a robot.
So they take the. Oh, we were also like, we were like, no, it's a camera, and like, so then they X-ray it and they're like, it looks like a camera, and then they blow it up, right? Like they put like a grill top looking thing on top of it. The robot blows it up, and then they're like, well, it looks like a camera. I was like, oh, if only some fucking genius good citizen could have told you what had happened. But it was really weird. But it also let me know, I'm like, I did everything right, and it. If I would have been a guy that wasn't as well spoken, or a dude that was just fucking around curious and perceived as less of the good citizen, that could have gone way worse, way easier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to, like, see, well, but, like, the benefit.
Beard?
Yeah.
Yeah, the beard.
Not this beardy, though. I'm super beardy. If I had this beard, it could have been a harder story.
That's definitely a story about bombing.
It's a story about bombing.
I like it.
I got arrested at TSA. So.
Put this like fourth or fifth, throw them a swerve after people start thinking they've established
like,
the
what
pattern.
What is this now? Wait a minute.
Now it's a hard
this
left.
This is about bombing on stage, not actually bombing. But let's get into that.
So yeah.
What do you feel like one of your worst shows was?
I because I've told the story a lot, because I've been doing this a long time, and I have a lot of friends who are new comics. I used to always say the worst show I ever did, and I know it's not true. I know I've had shows every bit as bad, but it was just the first, oh, this is awful show I've ever had. And, the worst show I ever had, or at least the first worst show I ever had, it was in Indiana, in South Bend, Indiana, which is a college town, and it was the Thursday that the NCAA tournament starts, which in Indiana is like a holiday. Like, I'm not bullshitting you. Those 2 days of school growing up were just big glorified indoor recess days. Like every class showed the tournament. Like, you might still have homework that you were allowed to do while it was on, but no teacher tried to teach on basketball day.
You were allowed to do your homework on basketball.
Yeah, you could if you were a nerd, but you were not. Like, it was so weird.
NCAA basketball day is Dan's favorite holiday.
Oh, you know it.
So much stuff.
Then go. it's like shopping during third shift.
It's like his comic book Black Friday.
Yeah,
it's like nobody's here.
but no, it was that day, and it's a Thursday at a sports bar.
Ooh.
And like, it was just bad booking. And like, the audience actively didn't want us there. And it was hard because like, they were right.
Yeah, I mean, and like, that's the worst.
I was mad, but it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, No.
I get
we're
it.
We're fucking with your party, man. Like,
yeah.
You're the jerks who all this one. And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, though, having such a, like, I guess I've always had a pretty decent perspective on when it's my fault and when it's their fault. And I really, it has been my fault. Like, I've been bad, and that's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like you might learn the most when you bomb.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know that's not my advice, but I think that's a true adage. I don't think that's just bullshit that people say to feel better.
Oh, no, I think comics that do, like, take, like, when you bomb and you think about what you did or what you could do better to improve, I feel like those are comics that are gonna succeed faster because you've got to be self-aware in this business.
Some of my...
Regardless of bombing, you still went, that was awesome. Right?
That's because how egotistic we are.
I will say, some of my favorite jokes, like currently, have come as direct responses too late to hecklers. Like
so
they came like a day and a half later where I was like, if anybody ever comes at me like that again, blammo. Yeah, like, but yeah, like, because they just sit there. Like, they just, oh.
That reminds me, I did that and I had sent a text to Nathan about it. We were doing this little holiday party he booked me for, and it went okay. There wasn't very many people there or whatever, but
like most of your shows?
Yep, exactly.
Because they had heard I would be there.
Exactly, yeah. And they're like, oh, I'm not coming. But there was this guy that had a big beard there, and he kept, like, heckling everybody. Yeah. And he was like, and during my set, I have jokes about a beard. And he was like, oh, mine's not a beard, it's a saddle. All right, whatever. And then I just kept having to, like, we
he
just kept
yelling. Just wants everybody to love him.
Then, like, 3 days later, I came up with, like, the best response. And I was like, no, why could I think of that? Because I was, like, listening to the playback in the back of the set. And I was like, I should have said, you mean a jock strap.
Yeah.
And so I texted it to Nathan. Yeah. And he's like, dude, that show was a week ago. And I was like, I know, it's so why could I think of it then?
I can't wait until I have a dickhead soldier in a crowd again. Upset. Not ruin my set again, you PTSD having son of a bitch. It's not my fault. Yeah, can't wait.
Man, that's funny.
Yeah, no, but yeah, there are a few. And I remember them real well. Like, those are, I only remember bad shows. I don't want to sound like a baby, but, like, yeah, I can remember those. I can remember where they were. I can remember the things they said.
I'm right there with you. I mean, that's what inspired this.
Worst show as far as, yep, it's not. I know the worst I've ever bombed. And again, I'm going to raise my hands and say, at the time, I could not have been asked to handle it. If I was to do it right now, I don't know if it would be good. Like, I think I've gotten better, funnier, more capable. I definitely have gotten better jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm doing more. But I still, this was not an opportune situation. I was doing a crappy stretch of shows through Missouri.
Oh, my gosh.
Missouri is the only state that I've ever performed in where I've never enjoyed it. I'm sure there are fine folks in Missouri. Never fucking met them. Everybody I met was a monster.
It's state of Missouri, Branson specifically. It's a family tree with no branches.
Yeah.
It's just a big stump.
It'll be a cold day in hell before I recognize
what
Missouri.
Is it, Dave? Casey Kustek hates Missouri.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
But I can remember it was we were doing a weird stretch of shows in tiny towns. I got connected to the guy through a friend. I'm featuring for him, right? I have only been telling jokes for like 3 or 4 years. Some of the places we showed up at had no idea what comedy was. Like one of the guys, I can remember, his name was Ed Wellesley. I hope he's dead. I hate this stranger. There's no chance he remembers meeting me.
Let's look on Facebook.
He's not there. I look him up all the time. he was this.
Going to throw some shade on Facebook.
Yep, he was this old farmer, bigger than I am, and I'm a pretty big dude. Like I'm a 6'4" guy. He's
only
great, yeah, great big old dude, right? And he's okay. So people don't know the show is there. The mic is only like a microphone and like 3 feet of cord connected to a speaker. Right? Like there is no mic stand. It's got terrible sound. Nobody can hear us. They don't know we're supposed to be there. They're openly hostile, right? I just have to fucking fill a half an hour. And it taught me to just kind of disengage. Mm-hmm. And I know I can do a half. I can stand up there. I can just stand up there and let people hate me for half an hour. That's a weird skill to have.
It is. Like, sometimes you need it.
Yep, like,
I was talking in the last interview that I did with, which was just last night. I recorded it last night with Timmy Williams, and we were talking about different situations. And I think that sometimes there's environmental factors that just, like, you can't, there's nothing, they're out of your control, and you're going to have a bad show. Because there's, you need certain things to have a good comedy show. And you find it, like, at a lot of, because we were talking about corporate gigs.
Yep.
And at a lot of corporate gigs, you don't have the elements for a good comedy show.
Nope, you've got to figure out how, and there are things you can learn, though, and like when I was talking about how sometimes you just learn from shitty shows or what have you.
Yep.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're still good.
I can remember once I was performing with a guy I think is super funny, and the lighting's bad. We're at like a pretty nice place. It's a golf course venue, right? And we're performing in front of a wall that is just windows, right?
Like, oh, man.
Whatever, it's just windows. The sun's going down. It's poorly lit. And in the middle of the feature set, maybe even like before the show starts, I'm trying to remember exactly, but an ambulance comes into the golf course and is doing something. And we can't tell what they're doing. So nobody at the golf course is paying attention. One of their friends is maybe fucking dead. Well, it wasn't me. It was outside. Somebody out there's stuff was dynamite. But nobody's paying attention to us in any fashion. So the feature is just eating shit. Like, nobody cares at all. Like they're not even acknowledging he's there. And I had been in a situation like that before. Like, I don't really think I was any funnier than the guy that went up next. I just knew if I don't address how weird this is, they're never going to listen to me.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was, for 3 minutes, I just looked out the window and laughed. And it got really weird, right? And then they were on board, too. Like, I squished the bug that everyone was looking at. And then they liked me.
Yep.
You're like, and then it was one of those weird, like, man, this is weird.
You have to address that in the room, right?
And we had an okay time. Like, it wasn't brilliant, but I know it was good. I know they had comedy again. And if I wouldn't have done that, they might have just been like, hey, it doesn't really work here.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that comics need to develop as, like, a skill, can't even talk, is being able to kind of see things like that and know that you need to, like, you need to address things like that to happen.
Yeah, it's why a lot of guys who do something in public speaking and then translate to comedy, it's unfair to say that guy's only been doing comedy for a year. Even like a teacher, a good teacher that translates. I'm like, oh, you know how to convey a thought in front of a room full of people.
Yep.
You know how to guide. Yep.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
So Durant, somebody who's been doing comedy can facilitate a group.
I know for a fact I could probably be put in charge of a bus tour that I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
And do a better job than a normal guy on his first day. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's how my employer feels about me. God damn it, we don't know if he could do a job, but he sure does talk.
But he is likable. the worst show, let's talk about this son of a bitch Ed Wellesley, because I got more people need to know this guy sucks. So anyway, this guy, it's the end of the show. It was just death. I stood up there for half an hour and knew how long it was. Like, I had no thing done, you know? Then watched the headliner do just as bad for 45 minutes. Yeah. Like, it was so bad. And dicks on purpose, man. Anyway, at the end of the show, though, this guy's talking to me at the bar, and I'm just looking to fucking leave, right? And the guy goes, he must ask me what my name... This is why I know his name was Ed Wellesley. He must have asked me what my name was, and I'm not embellishing in any fashion, in a 5 to 10 minute conversation. It felt longer, but I'm being realistic. In a 5 to 10 minute conversation, he must have asked my name 20 times.
Oh, my God.
And he must have told me his 20 times. Because this is how it went. Where's your name again? Where's your name again? Where's your name again? DJ Dang. I'm Ed Wellesley. Where's your name again? Where's your name again? Where's your name again? Where's your name?
Was he that drunk?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I thought this was going to be a comedy night, like, for the people. And then points to all of the, what, like, he thought he was going to go get drunk and do comedy that night.
But he put him...
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was mad. Like,
oh, he thought it was like an open mic?
But this is, so, again, like, 20 or 30, what's your names, right? It was my favorite, though. He goes, no offense, I just didn't like anything you had to say. Which is just the best thing I've ever been told. Like,
that's like the worst thing, like, after you already have a bad show. Like, because you feel it. When you're on stage and you know you're not doing well, because obviously, if you want to be a good comic,
you
want to do your best. And when you're not, when you're failing up there, you feel
five
it.
5 minutes feel like eternity. Yeah.
It does. And especially when you have to do, like when you're a headliner or something, and you have to do, like, an hour, and you're it's a long hour.
And lose them right off the bat.
Well, yeah, but... To have that, so you already feel like crap because you're like, oh, yeah. I didn't do as good as I could. And then you get off stage and you have to have somebody be like, I didn't like anything you said. It's just like insult.
Oh, he has no idea. He didn't hear a single thing I said.
So when I was in Missouri, too, I've never been back.
Yeah.
I've never been back to perform because it was when I first started out with comedy as well. Did you get the, you're not from around here?
Yeah. That kind of helped me be like, fuck this place.
Right?
I can remember, I had a joke.
That's their motto.
I had it.
Enter Missouri.
Yeah, like,
welcome to Missouri. You're not from around here.
It was, I told jokes about, like, just starting in New York, and they weren't, like, vehemently pro-New York. They were just about, like, I talked about how racism was different in the city because where I was from, they only worried about two colors, white and other. Right? Like, and in New York, there's like 80 different kinds of racism. Racism I didn't know about. You know, like, cliche premise, I'm a kid doing it for 3 years. This is a funny. I think it's really funny that my Nicaraguan brother-in-law hates different types of South American guys because I'm like, they're all the same where I'm from. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird nonsense. This guy, dead serious. I come out there and none of these shows were good by any stretch.
Yeah.
I also think I was a little better than the guy I was opening up for because he was the kind of guy that booked those shows after, like, they were real bad shows. And I can remember talking to a guy who was like thinking he got what I did. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I'm a comedy fan. You know, you can talk to me. He goes, well, you lost these people when you said you were from New York. And I was just like, first of all, fuck you then. Like, if you can't like someone from where they're from, fuck you. Like period. Like, across the board. Like,
right?
If you can't, like, West Virginia's awful. But for me to think that I dislike every person from West Virginia, it's just going to make it worse.
Right?
Like, I'm sure there are folks from West Virginia that are great, and they probably fucking hate it there. But they love their family, or can't leave, or whatever. Or maybe they even like it there. I begrudgingly like my hometown and understand how people could ignore the bad if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
I couldn't, but I could ignore the bad in places I like. Like, anyway, so I'm sitting there, and this guy, this doofus, goes, well, you lost him when he said you were from New York. And then he, so proud of himself, goes, we call them people sheeple. Like, he really thought he was going to blow my hair back with, like, that, sheeple. It was just one of those, I was like, you're the worst, man. Like, You're just the worst.
It's funny because he probably heard that from Mark Maron. On Mark Maron's Mark Maron
coined the phrase.
Kind of coined people.
Popularized it.
Early, like, when his radio days. Like, way before.
Air America
days. Yeah.
Sedition. So, to go back to your hating people from New York. So, do you hate people from Missouri now?
I hate that guy. I hate that Wellesley.
I want to find that Wellesley.
No, I am open. I hope you do. I hope you do.
I'm going to look.
And now, I'll tell you what.
Did he spell it for you in the
He just spit it at me. Yeah. And every time, just splatters.
Oh, like,
just
man.
That's Wellesley.
I'm Wellesley.
So when you don't have a good set or like you feel like you bombed, what do you try to take away from it? Do you like, before I get into that first, how long does that feeling come with you? Like, you know what I mean? Like you feel like you bombed. How long does it take for you to kind of get over a set?
It depends on so many variables, but a lot of them, how much of it was my fault versus their fault.
Okay.
Like, I think that's a lot of it.
How long does it take to you to come to that realization, though? Yeah. That, it was. Because I know I'm getting off stage, and I go, oh, man, I had a bad set. And I immediately pin it on the crowd before I go back. And I go, maybe I just sucked a lot of dick tonight.
Yeah. I think it was really my fault.
I think the right... I think the right answer... is to say it's always your fault, but no, it's not.
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of, the right answer is to say it's always your fault, because maybe if I had done something, but sometimes you have to realize all I could have done was be somebody else.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I run into that specifically. I am a white, loud dude that looks mad or looks mean,
mm-hmm.
right? Fairly dirty. I'm single and 35. I'm 36. I'm single and 36.
It's the MO. Book them.
But like that being said, I did a show not too long ago where I know the crowd thought I was very funny. They didn't like me.
Uh-oh.
Like they thought I was funny, but you know what they wanted? They wanted jokes about being moms and dads. Like,
okay, yeah.
And I suffer from the inverse of that. So before I'm like, fuck them. I'll tell you what, if I'm sitting there and you know how much I hate dad humor, it's gotta be real goddamn good for me to like a guy telling dad jokes. Not dad jokes, those I love, but jokes about being a dad.
Yeah,
I love crappy dad jokes.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean? But like, for me to like the shit about your kids, it's gonna have to be real good.
I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think it's a relatable thing.
I like it when Louis C.K. talks about his kids because he's the best fucking comic in the world. But I don't like it when an okay comic talks about his kids.
Well, then you're gonna love me.
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
no, for sure.
Like, you gotta be pretty good. So,
but it's
like,
one of them deals where it's like,
it was one of those,
be subjective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So they don't like hearing a whole bunch of jokes about different girls I've slept with.
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell that joke to their wife tomorrow, like if they're smart, they can still appreciate it. No, it's funny, but it's not the thing they're going to throw around at the lunch table.
Yeah,
which is what
trouble.
When you first started watching comedy, how much of it was at least a little bit? I'm going to tell my friends these jokes someday.
Oh, for sure. All the time.
I can't wait to tell people. Not even good. My sisters had some Cosby tapes, and I heard those, and I knew those were funny. But like the first comedy CD I ever really listened to was Dennis Leary's No Cure for Cancer. And I loved it. And of course, yeah, I know it ripped off Bill Hicks. I didn't know that when I heard it. Like that was the.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna. I'm trying to think of a good example here of if I had heard someone first, I wouldn't have known how important the band that inspired them were or the mm-hmm. band they ripped off. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had never heard Warren Zevon, I'll bet I wouldn't know that Kid Rock song's utter garbage. I would be like, hey, some of that sounds like music. What the fuck, Kid Rock? That's pretty good. But no, I would have been wrong. See, I would have been wrong.
So then the next question I have, the formal question, I guess, is...
Wait, these have been informal?
All of them were informal.
All of them are informal.
Yeah, but this next one. Hold up, I've got to go put on my jacket.
I dressed up for this.
Is there a jacket?
This next one.
It's all right.
One of the.
You can borrow our jacket. We keep it.
Coin questions that I like to do in this interview, because most of it's just conversation. But what do you coin? Yeah, I coined this next question. I already asked that question. Now you got me all flustered, you know?
Well, I guess I didn't give an answer. How long does it take?
Yeah, but...
I said, like, it depends on what's going on. The last time I can really remember a set not going as I wanted it to. Like, the last time I was like, that got out of hand from me. I can remember saying, like, hey, I said I didn't let that heckler get to me, but I realized I drove all the way home without turning on the radio.
Does that
I drove home for 5 hours just muttering to myself, thinking about what I'd have fucking said to him next time. Yeah, like, God damn it. Like, so more than, and I'm still mad now.
So,
a little bit, never. Yeah.
So then, what do you try to
a little bit, never.
Never. What do you try to take away from a bad set? What do you try to like learn from it?
I always try to put myself in what could I have done to have won? What could I have done to have beaten that crowd? Which is probably a real fucking diamond. Like, probably not the most comfortable mindset. How could I beat him into liking me? How could I trick him into thinking I'm okay?
Beat him into liking me without actually beating them.
So, I mean, I've been married for 9 years, and my wife knows when I come home with him, when I've had a bad set.
Yeah.
And she likes to talk to me from the crowd's perspective. I'm like, now you're on their side. I don't even know who I'm
at. Well, they're like, well, maybe I'm great, they're dumb.
Maybe you should watch out for papers in the morning.
Yeah.
Siding with the crowd. You weren't there.
Any advice for anybody that's thinking about doing comedy? Starting in comedy?
Yeah. If it's something you want to try, do it. Like, it's that there's no reason not to. Like, chance you will not be the worst person that ever did it, even if you try. Like, you won't be the worst that ever did it. It is fun. It's really hard. And if it quits being fun, stop for a while. Well, like, that's really the best thing. Like, don't make it. God, I don't know if I had taken
it. It's the same concept I have for kids. Being fun, don't have kids
before. Quit being a dad. I was about to say something, but I don't know if it would have been good advice for me when I was starting.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, like if it's not fun, quit. But the best thing you can do is just get more time. Like, that's how you get better. More time, just more stage time, period. More fresh faces looking at you is good. Like, that's why people travel, is to see, this is funny here, is it funny everywhere?
Right,
like, do I have 20 minutes, or do I have 7 minutes, and then 13 more minutes that are funny regionally? Like, because that's not 20 minutes, motherfucker. You have seven and an asterisk.
And that's something you're going to, like, learn.
Even if they're good jokes, I've got some jokes about Ohio that are the best jokes I've ever written. But they're not funny here in South Dakota.
Yep.
You guys aren't from Ohio.
What?
And you don't know Ohio. So, like, you'll get that a lot of astronauts come from Ohio. I think it's just because they wanted to fucking get out of Ohio. If anything's better, I'll just go up. That's okay, right? Like, it's okay.
Yeah, but in Ohio,
I can open up or close with that joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real fun joke. Thanks. Like, but that's not what I didn't do it tonight because not worth it. Like,
you could do that for any state, though.
Probably, but Ohio does have a lot of astronauts. They're
That in Ohio are going to know that.
I mean, you could do a similar type of joke for every state.
Yeah,
you could.
It'll do.
It'll do. All right, well, that's going to be... Thanks for your
Thank you, man. This was super fun.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com. to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
Are we actually leaving or just it?
The Art of Bombing is a Blitzed Entertainment production. Hosted and produced by Dan Bublitz Jr., the Art of Bombing intro music was written and performed by John Holt. All other music used in this podcast was under the Creative Commons license. If you would like to help the Art of Bombing, you can do so by subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show on whatever podcast application you use to listen to the Art of Bombing. For previous episodes, blogs, and more, visit artofbombingpod.com. Have a great week, and remember, stay safe so you can live to love.